Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic, and today's episode is all about the leadership rehab. What do you think we mean by that, the leadership rehab? We have a pretty good explanation for all of this, how we as leaders can continue to rehabilitate, how we can get back up after falling down or get back up after being knocked out or being injured, or even just when we need to have a restart, a reset, detox, rehab, and we've got a really great guest speaker, subject matter expert, all-star guest with us today. Mendy Dubov is going to join us and share his experience as well. So leadership rehab, let's get started. As you know, here at the Strategic Hot Box, we learn, we love, and we kick ass. And that is my philosophy. That's what I believe in. And I'm always striving to learn as much as possible, to share love in every situation that I possibly can, and then find ways for me to kick ass and to share kick-ass philosophies with the people around me. And when it comes to rehab, when it comes to detox, I was thinking about it. We are well into 2019 now. And so for those of you that are goal setters like me, for those of you that like to set resolutions, you're into the year. It's happening. If you can believe it, we're well into the year. And with that in mind, where are you in that process? And I know when the end of the year came through this year, I was certainly in need of some rehabilitation. I was certainly in need of a detox. And at the Strategic Hot Box, out on our website, we have some coaching materials for you. If you ever wanted to go down and download those, you know, easy to do, free to do, just go out there and do that at thestrategichotbox.com. But I think when it comes to detox and getting a way of rehabilitating, it's important to do that. And I don't know about anybody that's listening, I am the worst when it comes to rehabilitation. And what I mean by that is I rarely take the time to stop and think about how to grow and how to slow down and how to pause and how to give myself an opportunity to build back up, to get myself to a place of peak performance. And so whether that means admitting that I'm sick, because I just don't get sick, that just doesn't happen, or whether it's slowing down when I need that chance, or whether it's slowing down if somebody else in my family or my network needs that chance. And I know that ultimately that will impact my long term. Ultimately, that impacts my long game. And when we think about rehabilitation or rehab in general, it can come from a few different places. Moments of rehabilitation could be from addiction or from some sort of dependence that somebody is facing. Rehab could also be physical therapy or rebuilding your body or strength after an injury or accident. And for athletes, injury and rehab is a real component of what they're doing and what they face with their bodies and their careers. And many times after injuries, we're not the same. You know, whether it's an athlete and their game is never the same, or whether it's a human, our lives are never the same, and we're having to understand what that new normal is. And in some cases, people come back stronger and better than before. And why does that happen? What does that mean? And what do people do differently in those scenarios than people that don't have that fortune do? And how can we set ourselves up as leaders to follow that same path? And if you think about it from an athletic standpoint or an athlete standpoint, Peyton Manning from the NFL, of course, sat out an entire year from neck injuries and had a spinal fusion surgery. And he came back and just rock and rolled with from an offensive record standpoint. And then, of course, to win the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Paul George from the NBA, he broke his leg, as many of you know, and many thought that it would end his NBA career, and he's come back and is still kicking butt. And then, of course, I have high hopes for my man LeBron and his long-awaited return after the groin injury. And I think I read that it was the longest time that he had ever been out for an injury that he faced. And I think to myself, what's different from these injured athletes that have gone out and they're coming back in and have going forward to being better than they ever have been before? Is it a mindset? Is it it a tremendous determination? Is it the appropriate and focused self-care? You know, is it access to millions of dollars and the best that medicine has to offer? You know, all those things are potentials there. But how can we learn from that as leaders and give ourselves our own ability to rehab, to come back better and stronger? And this comes true with so many people that have faced some sort of way that they've been knocked down. And it happens personally, and it also happens professionally. And I have friends that might be going through a divorce, and in their divorce are feeling in this place that I don't know how I'm going to understand my path forward. I don't know what life means now that I'm not in this relationship that I define so much of my future based around. And so what does that mean now that you're having to rehab from that and give yourself the appropriate self-care, your appropriate time to mend and heal? Or it might mean like if a loss of a job, and maybe you had an unexpected loss, and it could have been from your own performance or from bad choices, or it could have just been the way the organization was progressing and it wasn't right for you, or it could have been your choice to just leave the organization. But regardless, what does that mean? How do you rehabilitate? And in the process of that, build yourself up so when you are with the next team, with back on the court, in the next job with your next partner, or just loving yourself, that you're there built stronger and coming back, you know, the best that you can possibly be. And so I want to learn. I'm really anxious to learn and talk to our subject matter expert today, Mendy Dubov, about how he works with entrepreneurs and athletes to coach themselves into their own personal success, particularly after they've had some sort of setback. And he has an approach called the yellow mentality. So I want to formally introduce him to you now. He's the founder and CEO of Yellow Mentality. He's a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, which sounds super fancy. So I can't wait to understand what that even means. He's a certified professional coach and energy leadership index practitioner. He also has his bachelor in educational psychology. So please join me in welcoming Mendy. Hello there. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. So tell me first, what is a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner? Okay. Yeah, that was like a tongue twister. I just nailed it.
So NLP is what it stands for, is the acronym for neuro-linguistic programming. And NLP is neuro, which is the brain. Linguistic is the language. And programming is how you condition your mind. So being able to condition your mind to do certain things and to essentially rewire how your brain is conditioned can be the difference between somebody that's successful in their specific area or craft versus somebody that is not as successful or chokes, for example, in a performance or an athletic performance, right? So NLP is being able to rewire your brain and to use the power of your brain to your advantage and not allow your negative thoughts and setbacks control you as a athlete, performer, entrepreneur, whatever it is you're trying to achieve. They all have the same common denominator, which is that our brain is powerful. And if you learn how to use it to your advantage versus letting it control you, that's going to be the difference between success and not success.
Whoa, I love that. That's pretty intense, and it's so true in how we can get in our own head. I see it with my kids, whether it's the spelling bee. I see it with myself when I go to tee off on the golf course and my bosses are all breathing down my neck. I see it just in applied in so many different places, those stories we tell ourselves. It's so true. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you and your journey in this field and in leadership.
Okay. So when I was a little bit younger, I was always loved psychology and always loved sports. Those were two things that I really gravitated toward. I have a big family. We always talk about sports and psychology. Those are the two things that constantly come up. And I was playing basketball when I was a little bit younger, and I tore my ACL. For those that are not familiar with the ACL, it's a ligament inside of the leg that allows you to move laterally. And that was very new to me, learning all about what I became like an expert in the leg just by tearing that ligament in my leg. And I went through the whole physical therapy process. And like you mentioned earlier in the show, I wanted to know what made some athletes better than they were before, the same or worse, right? And anybody that follows sports sees that some athletes come onto the field after an injury and they end up tearing the same ligament or another having another injury again, which is devastating and it sucks, right? And I wanted to know how do some people manage to become better and to increase their ability to perform versus the opposite. And I found that there's obviously, like you mentioned, there's the money that goes into the physical therapy process, right? Like there's better physical therapists and there's better rehab. And that's obviously depending on the person and the clinic you go to. But then there's the mental side, which I found, which was fascinating to me. Being a lover of psychology, I wanted to know what was it that allowed somebody to become better using their mental skills. And that led me into this huge field of sports and psychology, which is essentially reaching peak performance, reaching that peak state as an athlete that allows you to not tell yourself the same story that you've believed all this time. So for an athlete, it's, I just tore my ACL. I just broke my leg if you're Paul George. I just had a spinal injury if you're Peyton Manning. I just had a groin injury if I'm LeBron James. How do I get back onto that court and not believe that that is going to define me as an athlete? And that tends to happen again, because those are the stories we come up with in our heads is, oh, since it happened once before, there's a good chance it'll happen again because now I'm weaker, right? And it's an assumption that we make, but it's not necessarily true. It's just something that we come up with. So being able to quiet that story and to say, no, that's not going to define who I am, is really what fascinated me when it came to coming back from this injury. And that led me into this field, and I love every second of it.
Amazing. And I also, so not only just letting it define you as who you are, and also being patient enough to allow your mind and your body to heal, I'd imagine. That's one thing that I've admired or been, you know, grossly impatient for my own watching of the Lakers, you know, in this season. But in LeBron, just allowing himself to be 1,000% ready and even saying, I will not go back on the court until I'm ready. And I always push myself when I'm not ready.
Yeah, and that's a big one. Like I've done some work with some Olympians, and that's one of the things we talk about a lot is, when do you know to take a step back, to take a step down that might get you two steps further versus trying to jump the gun and trying to come back too early, which might be stressing your body too much, and that's going to cause another injury. And it's a very hard decision to make, because everybody, every athlete, everyone that fails, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a parent, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a performer, whether you're a musician, whatever it is, everybody wants to come back, because the only reason they're doing that thing is because they love it. And to be able to say, I'm going to be patient. And even though I might think I'm ready, and even though I want to go back and I want to continue doing what I love, I'm going to take a step back and say, look at it from a macro perspective, as opposed to being compulsive and not allowing yourself to be patient, and just say, you know what, even though I might think I'm ready and maybe I'm only 85% there, 90% there, and if I went on the court today or went on the field today, I would be okay, and you know, maybe I wouldn't be get injured again, but I want to be 100% ready so that I decrease those chances of getting injured again. That's so important, but it's a hard call for athletes, especially because they want to do it, they want to get on the field as soon as possible, but It's a patience game, really.
Absolutely. So tell us more about the yellow mentality.
Okay. So when I started the company, I was looking for a name that really captured what it is I do, but also something that was catchy, something that stuck. And I found through my research and through my knowledge in psychology, I learned that every color has an emotion and a meaning. So yellow in psychology represents energy, positivity, consciousness, and your ability to stay positive. So I through all my studies, I know that that is essentially what it takes to reach peak performance. If you're energetic, you're positive, and you're focused on what it is that you need to do, that's what's going to help you reach peak performance. So I took the idea of yellow, the color, and mentality, which is your essentially your mindset. And that is, to me, the recipe of peak performance. So blending those two ideas together and always saying, you know, you're about to go onto the field. And instead of thinking about what might happen and all the negative things that can happen, switch that mindset, switch that perspective to a more positive one. And that could literally be the difference between playing your best game ever versus choking or even getting injured, because what we think about, we know what we think about is our reality. And if we're having negative thoughts before a performance or during a performance, our body will follow and mirror our mind. So that yellow mentality to me was a huge indicator of what I do and how I do it, essentially.
How does someone even recognize if they are having bad patterned thoughts?
So I think it's, I think you know. I think everybody knows. Like even before this call, right, I was like thinking, okay, am I doing everything that I was supposed to do? And I started, I don't want to say second guessing, but my mind started to wander. Was I doing this right? Was I doing that right? It's like almost like a checklist that we start to make up. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you're going to dinner with somebody and the person is 5 minutes late and they haven't showed up. Mm-hmm. And first you're like, maybe you're a little mad, or maybe you're worried depending on what your relationship with that person is. And then 10 minutes goes by, and then 20 minutes goes by. And now you start to make up stories in your mind of what might be going on with this person. Mm-hmm. And those are all made up stories. And essentially, when the person walks into the door, they'll have their own story that's probably going to be very different than yours. Mm-hmm. And it'll probably be something that's not as intense as what you were thinking, right? They'll be like, oh, I hit traffic, or I got a ticket because I was speeding. But we were thinking like, oh my God, what if they died, right? Or what if they got into a car crash? And those are all stories. And it's almost like it's natural, but we have to condition our mind to think positive things. Right. So if we're an athlete going onto the field before a championship game, he might be programmed or conditioned to think things that might not be beneficial to his performance. Like, what if I mess up? Or he has to take the final shot in the game and he's thinking, what if I miss? What is everyone else going to think? What are the repercussions of that action? Mm-hmm. And it just has to be flipped. It's a simple switch, and it's practice. Essentially, it's being able to vision. And that's one of the exercises I use with my clients. Is visioning the ideal outcome versus the negative one, right? Like, instead of thinking about what might go wrong, think about what can go right. Mm-hmm. And it's really, it's just a shift in perspective, but it's so powerful.
It is. That is really cool. So you work with both athletes and entrepreneurs, you mentioned. So how do they connect? Are there similarities? Are there differences? And do you have to take a different approach in both fields?
So the beauty in what I do is that it applies to everybody. Right? Like, failure is a universal idea, and self-doubt is a universal thing for everybody. It just happens to be that entrepreneurs and athletes is my love and my passion. So that's kind of where I gravitated toward. But everybody has setbacks, and everybody might doubt themselves, whether it's an athlete that, like I said, an athlete that has to take a free throw with 2 seconds left. There's things that are going through his mind that if he's not conditioned to think the right things, it might have a negative effect on his performance. If it's a musician or a singer that's about to go on stage, and in rehearsals they had a tough time hitting a note, and now they're going in to the performance, they're going to be doubting themselves if they're not really, really prepared mentally and physically. So it's just a pattern that goes along with everybody. And it's, again, it's being able to shift perspective and think the right things and have the right exercises accessible to be able to allow you to reach that peak performance and really perform at your best.
Mm-hmm. And I see it in the business environment and playing out in so many different ways, whether it's doubting whether or not somebody would have confidence in you, or doubting whether or not you can make something happen. Like, I'll see that my team say, oh, they'll get stressed. Like, I've got to over prepare for things because I won't be good enough. I'm like, you're already good enough. And so it's sometimes the perspective of whether or not we're worth it or good enough is only ours.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be, again, that could be the difference between somebody that's good and someone that's not. Like, you could be LeBron James, but if you're doubting yourself, like, that's a huge issue, right? Like, everybody thinks you're the best player in the world, but you're like, I'm not enough.
Right.
That's a whole game in itself. And you know, I have some fun with that as well. Being able to understand what your self-image should be versus what it is. And critiquing it and saying, you know, you are enough and everybody should know this. But it's not always so easy, right? Like, we all self-doubt ourselves. It's a normal thing. And people, especially nowadays with Instagram and social media, it's so easy to get misled about what's really true in the world, right? Like, we see pictures and you see something that looks cool and people start to believe that's really reality, and they don't necessarily see the flaws in the person. They only see what's really cool and what's popular. But we all have self-doubt. And this is actually something that's becoming more affluent in the sports industry, which is people coming out and saying, you know, I'm not either perfect, right? Like, I also have maybe some mental setbacks or mental issues that I see professionals seek professional help for.
Right.
And it's totally fine. And I think it's important for people to understand that it's okay to not be perfect, and it's okay not to be the best. And mm-hmm. maybe we all have setbacks, right? Like even the coolest person, the best athlete, the best singer, the best artist, the best entrepreneur, they all have setbacks. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they don't have them.
Right.
And for you to believe that it's not really true or they don't exist is idiocracy, right?
Do you think that athletes, so to have that kind of peak mentality to stay focused on the future, do you think people have to have a certain level of confidence and swagger? And let me give you kind of a visual example of that. My kids play basketball, right? They're young boys, 6 and 8. And we were at their games for the weekend, and there were some older kids. You know, I say kids, but they were probably, you know, they were tall gentlemen. So they're probably high school age boys that were walking into the gym. And I could tell they were basketball players, you know, my profiling that was occurring. But it was because, one, they were very tall. And second, they had this tremendous swagger. They walk in like, yeah, I'm the man, like walking in this gym. And I'm like, they have to be like high level high school. It's got to be a tournament or something that's occurring. And then it was. And I thought to myself, you could just tell that they were good basketball players. Entirely, well, one, their height, but two, their swagger. And so is that part of the mindset, is having that confidence?
So I think confidence, there's many different facets to confidence. Like I teach that confidence can be built in a matter of minutes just by changing your physiology. Like we know there's been studies, Amy Cuddy from Harvard University has done a study that the bigger your body language, the more testosterone is being boosted into your body.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody can actually pretend to be confident, and that will cause them to actually be confident, which is fascinating. So that's mm-hmm. one of the things I teach. But then the swagger aspect, I think, is a lot of it's repetition, right? Like mm-hmm. if this is his 20th tournament and he's coming on and he's looking at all the newbies and the rookies,
right?
He automatically feels a boost of confidence. He feels cool about himself. He feels good about himself.
Yeah.
And that definitely helps his performance, but a lot of that is repetition. So for an athlete that's going to the NBA finals for the third time is going to have a he's going to be more confident and have one up on the person this is his first time. And that's one of the mental games that is part of the league. And I'm one of the people that is helping that rookie, that kid that has never been to the NBA finals, that kid that's never gotten on stage never been on stage other than this first time. That's where he has to gain an advantage over the novice, person that's
experienced. Yeah.
Yeah, experience.
Those that are coming into it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with you. Can you share a funny story or some experience that you've had in that way?
Funny story. I mean, I could share a funny story of how I got a client. He was an entrepreneur that before 2008, he was doing extremely well financially. And after the crash, everything, his whole life fell apart. And he lost his houses, he lost his cars, he lost essentially everything. And I was on the way to a basketball game, and he was my Uber driver, funny mm-hmm. enough. And we get into this deep, deep conversation about, you know, how to reach peak performance, how to reach success, what mindset, perspective, all the things that I do.
Did you say 2008?
Yeah.
There was Uber in 2008?
No, this is recently.
Oh,
so he lost everything in 2008.
The crash happened. Got it.
Yeah, and then he lost everything, and now he's trying to get back, and this is one of his side hustles.
Got it.
And he hired me on the spot, funnily enough. And it was just the power of being genuine and the power of helping somebody, mm-hmm. genuinely trying to help somebody.
Good for you. And that, to see somebody and that was when we were taught, when I was at the beginning of this, saying that injury is a metaphoric term in some ways too, that it's not always just somebody pulling a muscle. When it comes to job loss or divorce in a personal sense or anything that we go through, all of those things require a certain amount of rehabilitation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's physical rehab, and there's emotional rehab as well, right?
Yeah.
Psychological as well. There's so many different types of injuries and being hurt, and it's not just something physical, and everybody has their own level of being hurt, and we can't judge somebody else for what their type of hurt is.
Yeah, and it's interesting also how those things work together. So if you hurt yourself physically, how it impacts you mentally, or when you hurt yourself mentally, how it can impact you physically, right? Yep. And how yep. those Absolutely. Things kind of are so interrelated. Oh, it's so fascinating to me. Can you share a bold action item or takeaway for our listeners and watchers today?
So I think when you listen to thought leaders, big thought leaders in the world, everybody believes they have the secret sauce to success. But I strongly believe that everybody has what it takes to be successful inside of them. And like we talked about and just now throughout this call, throughout this episode, is that a lot of it is mental. And a lot of it is just being able to believe in yourself and believe in what you're able to do, as opposed to trying to find that thing, right? Everyone's looking for that thing that's going to give them success. Oh, it's this course, it's this program, it's this episode, this podcast. You have it inside of you, and you just have to let it unleash and allow it to come out, and you can literally achieve anything just with the power of the brain. Allow yourself to dig deep into your brain and to really get rid of all those excuses that you're making. Everybody has a master plan of what they want their life to look like, but they have excuses holding them back for whatever reason. And they think those excuses are really good, right? It's like, I haven't done X because, you know, my mom hasn't given me the money yet, or I didn't get the time, or I didn't have the resources. Everybody has an excuse, and they really believe in the excuse to be something that's legit. It's a legitimate excuse. But you just have to get rid of that and say, I have what it takes to be successful inside of me. And the reason that I have my life is because nobody else can achieve what I can achieve if I get rid of those blocks that are in my way. And that's why it's your life.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here today. How can people get a hold of you?
I'm all over social media at Mandy Dubov. And you can find me on my website, yellowmentality.com. And you could also email me at Mandy@yellowmentality.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inspiring me, for getting all of my brain juices flowing. I can't wait to, I'm actually going to do a little Googling of the NLP. I'll just say that so I don't have to bust out that term again. I just love the idea of people being able to be more in control of their own programming in their brain. So it's really powerful stuff. Thank you very much for being here, and I'll talk to you really soon.
Thank you.
Let's head out to our shout out.
It's Mia Perez. Super excited to have sat through your emotional intelligence session. That was fantastic. Yeah. We're about to go into a sales meeting, fun session, and listen, I love strategic hot box. We got to get together, have a cocktail, and kick ass.
Thank you to Mia for sending us that shout out, and hopefully we have you on the hot box someday soon. So thank you to Mia from Louisiana, and thank you again to Mandy for being here as our guest. It is time. It's time for us to break it all down. It's time for us to kick some ass. Here is your top five. Number one, mindset over solution. So adjusting your mindset and believing in how you are in control. I loved listening to Mandy's concepts and even some of the tactics that he uses with his clients about visioning, about practicing those visions, about thinking about what you can do differently, thinking about how you can succeed, what that looks like. Putting yourself in that position as opposed to thinking about the things that can go wrong. I also love the idea of you being in control of and empowering yourself in a sense, and not necessarily thinking about the overall situation of being in the situation, being injured or being in the tragedy, being in the moment of heartbreak, whatever that looks like, but more how it is that you're going to work through it, what it is that your rehabilitation looks like and your mindset within it. Number two is to be aware of the moment and be aware in the moment. And so being able to focus on it and being patient within it. And we gave the example of LeBron. We gave the example of other athletes. But knowing yourself enough to say, am I ready? Am I ready to give it 100%? Because jumping back into the game, as I am very guilty of, sometimes can set myself back, either whether it's through re-injury. And again, injury is a loose or metaphoric term in the sense of it could be emotional or mental or even physical, but be going back into things too quickly can hurt the long term. And so being aware of yourself, being aware of you and where you are in that moment, being patient in that recovery and pushing forward. Number three, continue to build your own emotional intelligence. I love when Mandy talked about being too dramatic, too over the top in moments and settling into it and saying, okay, how can we focus on what is really at hand here and what that recovery looks like, and getting rid of some of the excuses that are surrounding that. And emotional intelligence, emotional maturity is something that I really believe in. And I continue to work from a coaching standpoint with a lot of the executives that I work with. And emotional intelligence really takes us to the next level. So how can we apply that to our own personal leadership? Number four is to review, reset, and reward. I think that we often forget to reward ourselves for small wins. We do this so much in our business and our leadership goals. We don't do it enough in our own personal leadership goals. So we want to reward the small wins. And number five, fail faster and get over it. It's time for us to make some things happen, to get over our excuses, to get out of our way, and start building towards the future. There's your top five. Kick ass. Thank you again to Mendy for being here. Thank you to all of you for being part of the Strategic Hotbox. Until I see you again, get out there and kick some ass.